Vice President Richard B. Cheney, thanks very much, Mr. Vice President, for making the time.
Well, it's good to be on the program.
Well, let me ask you, is the conventional wisdom correct, in your opinion, that your attempts to reform Social Security, to save Social Security, are dead?
No, they're not correct at all. We know this is a hard task. If it was easy, somebody would have done it already. But we think the first and most important thing is to get people to understand there is a problem with Social Security and the importance of addressing it now. And getting that debate and dialogue started is what we've been trying to do, and I think we've made considerable progress there, and that the polls show that more and more people understand that there's a problem here. Now, if you just look at the demographics and think about how much the country's changed in the 70 years since Social Security was set up, the fact that people live on average 16 or 17 years longer now than they did in the 30s, that we're going to have a baby boom population retiring here shortly, and a significant expansion of the retired community, fewer and fewer people working for each retiree who's drawing benefits, and it's clear that we have never funded the benefits that have been promised for that younger generation.
Right. The one thing that is very difficult for me to understand, Mr. Vice President, is the fanatical, ferocious opposition to your desire to try to save Social Security. What do you think is really behind the fact that, I mean, I saw a bunch of labor union demonstrators saying, hands off our Social Security. What kind of mistake or motivation do you think is behind some of this opposition?
Well, I've seen it before. Other times during my career, I can recall times when Social Security wasn't in trouble, but it was used at campaign time as an issue where our opponents, frankly, would go out and try to scare people into believing their Social Security benefits were threatened and get them to therefore vote a certain way in the election. And we had a problem back in 83 because we came close to not being able to send out the checks for Social Security, but then because it was a crisis and it was imminent, we were able to get a bipartisan solution with Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan and put together a package, and it worked well. We need to get to that point again now. This is a different kind of a problem than we had in 83. And as I say, there is, as you point out, there's a lot of political resistance, especially on the Democratic side. They're basically saying there's no problem. But it's fascinating to go back and look at Bill Clinton's speeches in 1999 before he left office, talking about the importance of fixing Social Security, or Harry Reid, now the Senate Democratic leader, who in those days was calling for personal retirement accounts. They've changed their tune 180 degrees, I guess maybe because now we're the ones who are bringing it up instead of them.
Well, one of the things that I hear from callers from time to time is people say, well, look at the market right now. The market is shaky. Market goes up. Market goes down. It's a big roulette wheel. It's a big casino. Why should I trust my retirement to the vagaries of the stock market? And your answer is?
Well, the key here is to understand what we're proposing. And the personal retirement accounts we've recommended would deal with just a portion of the Social Security payment. That is, be allowed to put 4% out of the 6.2% payroll tax into a personal account. And we've got a lot of experience with this sort of thing. You look at the thrift savings plan that is there for federal employees now. We've been, had these plans operating back since the mid-80s. People take a portion of their payroll and goes into the thrift savings plan. They've got five different options. They're conservative. And over time, they have, in fact, produced good returns, far better returns than you get out of just putting the money straight into Social Security. There are a number of states out there where state employees, California, for example, Texas, I believe Pennsylvania, where people, in fact, are not in Social Security. They're in a separate plan. And, again, we've got a lot of experience that shows that it does work.
Well, in terms of the mistakes that people make, the misunderstandings they have, what do you think is the most significant misunderstanding about the nature of the Social Security reform that you and the President are talking about?
Well, I think point number one to make is that if you're already retired, this is not going to affect you at all. Your benefits are assured. You're going to get covered under the existing program, and nobody's talking about changes there. People have been contributing into the program their entire lives, and we want to keep those promises. If you're 10 years from retirement, same thing as if you were born before 1950. Nobody's suggesting any changes with respect to your situation. But the younger generation, they're the ones that where we're going to run into problems, because you can look in the out years and see that huge unfunded liability, promises that have been made but never paid for. And if you're in your 30s now, for example, 30 years old, looking at retirement 35 years down the road, by the time you retire, the current law, if we do nothing, will lead to a 26% cut in your benefits. That's the facts of what's out there today. So we need to get the idea across to people, one, that there is a problem, two, that this is not going to affect anybody who's already retired or close to retirement, three, that, in fact, the advantages of time, if we set up these personal accounts, will allow people to earn a higher return and to come closer to being able to collect the benefit levels that have been promised.
Well, one of the recent attacks on reform that I've heard from Senator Reid, among others, is they say that you're scaring people about the reliability of U.S. government bonds, that the Social Security Trust Fund, that's great fiction that has been created over the years, is actually full of these rock-solid government bonds, and that by questioning the reliability of those bonds, you're really undermining the whole full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And your response, Mr. Vice President?
Well, Michael, I think U.S. bonds are indeed valuable, reliable investments. I wouldn't suggest otherwise. In fact, one of the options in the Thrift Savings Plan for federal employees involves investment in those. The point is, though, that the money that was what those bonds represent, the payroll tax that's been paid over the years, that was over and above what was required to pay immediate benefits. And what's going to happen here down the road is we're going to reach the point before too long where we're paying out more than we're taking in the payroll tax and Social Security benefits, and that means we'll have to go borrow money, in effect, to repay those bonds. That's when we start to get the demographic problem working for us. You know, 2008, we'll have the first of the baby boom generation reaching age 62 and starting to retire. We've got 40 million retirees today. We're going to have 72 million down the road here in not too many years. And whereas we had 16 people working for each one retired in 1950, that is 16 people paying in for one taking out, today we've got three paying in for one taking out. And a few years down the road, we'll be to the point where there'll be only two people paying into the system for every one taking benefits out. When you get to that point, then you begin to see that the only solution here to having a viable program will either be massive benefit cuts or major tax increases. We know that we made promises that haven't been funded, and that's the issue we've got to address.
Well, very quickly, in just the time remaining to us, is this going to be a fight that will reach its climax in 2005, or is it going to continue through the rest of your second term?
Well, we hope to get it done this year. We think, you know, if you wait till an election year, it gets tougher because of the politics that are involved in it. But we're going to keep pushing it until we get something done here. It's important that we address it. The president and I campaigned on it in 2000 and 2004. It's the right thing to do. It's about our kids and grandkids and making certain Social Security is there for them when they need it. And I think ultimately the American people will recognize that what's involved here is a real question of presidential leadership and the president's willingness to take on a tough issue and to solve an important problem. And I think a majority of the American people want us to do that.
Well, I certainly hope that you are correct. Certainly the majority of people who listen to this radio show salute you, Mr. Vice President. Your courage politically and morally in taking over an issue that needs to be taken over, the reform and saving of our Social Security system. Very honored to have on this radio show Vice President of the United States, Richard B. Cheney. We will be back to continue the discussion of the need for Social Security reform and some of the misunderstandings that people have about the nature of the reform that the President and the Vice President are talking about. We'll be taking your calls on this issue and continuing the conversation coming right up. Mr. Vice President, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be
right
back.
Good to talk to you, Michael.